we've seen in the other churches. There's a commendation given for the church at Thyatira. There's a commendation for what they're doing right. There's condemnation for what they're doing wrong. And then he exhorts them in what they ought to do. Okay? Simple pattern that you see in these churches. So let's just kind of work our way through it and we'll be done for the day. Let's dive in. So then as he begins to commend this church, the thing that he addresses is the way their work started out, the way their ministry started out. You got verse 19. You see what he says? I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. You see what he does? He compares their latter work to their way they worked initially. And so he commends them for the way their work was initially. He said that the motivation for this church's motivation was not to impress people, not to gain a name for themselves. Their motivation was love and faith, right? Love for God, love for people, faith in God, right? And love and faith then was their motivation. And then he says that love and that faith is what manifested itself in what he calls service. By the way, when you see the word ministry in the Bible, it's literally the word service, right? So ministry is not to be some glorified activity. Ministry means this is the way I serve God, right? This is the way I serve people. Don't think of ministry as some kind of flowery activity that goes on. When you minister, you're supposed to be working. Amen. Ministry is supposed to be work. So you shouldn't get discouraged because you have to. That's what it means, right? People go on a job and you get upset because you have to work. That's the reason it's called a job, right? You're supposed to work. Well, God says in the church, we need to be workers. We right? Your labor in Christ, what? It's not in vain. And so it's work, right? So when you love God and you love people and you have faith in God, then you can, in fact, serve God and people. No, don't miss this. Even when you don't get back what you put in, you can serve anyway. And God says you need to learn that at home. Because anybody that has any kind of family structure, you know, you have to learn to serve people even when you don't get thank yous and when you're unappreciated. Yes? And so the family of God is simply that. Sometimes we thank people and appreciate them. Sometimes we don't. We, listen to me, we can be fickle. Yes? That's the reason it's love and faith. I continue to serve because I love God and I love you and I have faith in God. Yes? You get the picture? And you see, it's that love and faith revealed itself in real ministry, real service, with endurance. I don't quit. I don't quit. I'm going to do it until the end. Now, what does the end mean? Jesus defines that. Yes? He's the Lord. He defines it. We good so far? So that's the initial work. Now, what he says here is that your latter work was just like the initial work. You see how he said it? You remember what he said there at the end? And your latter works exceed the first. So this motivation that they had, that manifested itself, it didn't fade over time. Some of us know what happens when you've been serving for a while. That we've just been real. Amen. Right? And so you don't bring the same kind of zeal to ministry like you used to. Uh-huh. You used to be there before start time. Right. Now I'm talking about your ministry. And then you kind of start getting there right at start time. And then, you know, right? The zeal begins to fade. But he said, that's not true of you all. You're just as faithful now as you were what? As a matter of fact, he said, it even exceeds. You're more faithful now. You see what he said? That what he said? So, see, that's what grace does. Grace says, Willie, I don't want you to be less faithful because you've been doing this longer. Yeah? I want you to be more. So he commends them that their motivation and manifestation didn't fade over time. They continued on in love and faith. So that's the commendation. Everybody good? That's the thing that they were doing right. Their labor of love and ministry to people did not weaken over time. That's the way I want to summarize this point. Did everybody hear me? Their labor of love in ministry did not weaken over time. All right, move on to the next point. The next point then is what they're doing wrong. Even though they've been faithful in their love and their ministry to Christ and to people, they still have this area of weakness. And it begins with verse 20. Before I get there, let me mention this. Y'all remember this slide? We talked about it last week or week before? We talked about it recently. I'm so old, I don't even remember when we did. But you remember we talked about this slide, and I want to remind you of this again. Satan and his activity in our world today is real. Amen. Now, I'm not saying we need to accredit everything wrong to Satan. You understand what I'm not? We're not trying to find Satan in everything. But we are acknowledging that he is involved in a lot of what is going wrong. Mm-hmm. Right? We've seen that he can control nature, right? And from the scriptures, we know that he can influence animals. We obviously know that he rules over angels and demons, the fallen angels and demons. He can work false miracles. What I want to remind you of today, though, is his influence. He can influence, oppress, possess, and entice people. Yes. Now, I gave you all of these venues where he works, in government, in schools, in our workplace. But I want you to also know that in religion, Satan is effective in religion. Anything he does is for the harm of God's creation. Amen. Satan, his whole impetus is to destroy what God has created. In the beginning, God created everything, and he saw that everything was what? Good. Then Satan came to try to destroy what God had created was good, right? Started with Adam and Eve. He got them hooked. Look around you. Why do we have dead trees and animals died? It all everything beyond that point, he brought death and destruction. So don't start cuddling up with Satan. Don't think that this is something you can play with, young people. That's the reason I told you about drugs. I don't know who was here last time. But don't play with drugs. The Bible clearly teaches that drugs are an avenue for Satan to get control of your mind. That's the reason that drugs are used in most witchcraft and evil activity. Drugs are the means. And don't think that because you got what you might consider to be modern drugs. Anything that gets you out of your mind is a tool that Satan uses. Okay? Whether it's alcohol or smoke or whatever you're doing. Whether you're snorting it, smoking it, shooting it, whatever you're doing. Drinking it. This is his medium that he's using to destroy young people's lives. And I shouldn't just qualify for young people. There's some old people that are being influenced by drugs. So I just want you to keep that in mind as we look at this issue today. He has significant influence in the religious circle. And he has come right into the church. I don't mean just a church that doesn't belong to Christ. He's come into the church that belongs to Christ. We're together? And so this is the reason that we need to be discerning. And I'm proposing to you that this is the reason we need revival. So that we're not deceived. Okay, well, I'm spending too much time there. So you this is the point I want you to see as we look at what was wrong at Thyatira. The first problem that he points out is that this church tolerated Jezebel's false teaching. Okay? You got verse 20? Look at verse 20. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. Okay? That's a clear statement, right? All of us can see and understand that. Here's what I want you to pick up on. The word tolerate, that's an important word. You see it there, afiemi. It is, the word means to know something is wrong, but to leave it to somebody else to fix it. You see what the point is? Tolerate means I know things are going wrong here, but somebody else can take care of it. You get the point? That's what tolerate means. And so when that attitude begins to take root in a church, this is what happens. Somebody else will address it, and I don't have to. Right? It's like a house. Everybody eats. But if everybody in the house assumes that somebody else is going to wash the dishes, then dishes don't get washed.
That's right.
Yes? I mean, you can take that analogy to, you know, anything. So that's what tolerate means. It's to assume somebody else will address the problem. We good? And so as he writes to this church, he says that the problem is that you've got this female false teacher there. You've given her a position of authority. Right? He says that she calls herself a prophetess. And obviously, he wouldn't have called her a false teacher if she wasn't, in fact, recognized as a teacher in that church.
Uh-huh.
Right? She has been given a position of authority. And she was openly and candidly teaching church members to practice idolatry. And everybody knew it. You see, that's what tolerating means. Everybody knew it, but everybody assumed that somebody else was going to address it. You get the picture? I don't know how to say this any differently. I tried to address it last time, and I want to be clear here that this is not Satan's only pattern and plan, but a part of a strategy that he has in luring Christians is through sex and eating. Okay? If you think about human need or human desire, you can see that that's at the core, right? Food and drink and sex. Now, you young people, I want you to understand, sex isn't a bad thing, except when you don't do it God's way. You see?
That's right.
God created sex for good, right? Sex actually is created for pleasure. I don't want y'all to feel like I'm only talking this. I got some young people over here, too. I need to talk to old people, all of us. Sex is good. But we benefit when it's done God's way. Again, food is good. But when you don't eat the way God instructs you to, you can eat yourself to death. Sex will kill you. I mean, you can take anything that God created as good. You see, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to take what God meant for good, you see, and turn it to our destruction. You follow me? So this is what he's doing here. You know, this Thyatira, y'all remember this. Anybody that's read the book of Acts, you remember when Paul met Lydia? You remember Lydia on his travels? Lydia was from Thyatira. You know, she's a woman that dealt in purple. So she was an entrepreneur. Well, that's what Thyatira was known for. It had plenty of entrepreneurs there. And so they had all of these, it's a working class town that had all of these industrious people there. And so what they would do is several times a year they'd have these festivals and banquets. You know, how agricultural towns, they have a festival two or three times a year, and depending on what kind of industry you're in. So they'd have all these festivals, and the people would come there, and what would they do? Eat, drink, and be merry. And once you eat and drink and are merry, what do you want to do? Have sex. And this prophetess was teaching Christians there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody else is doing it. See, God created food and God created sex. That's true. You see the point? That's true. But when you're not doing it the way, when you're not using it the way God said, then that's not good. Am I being overly simplistic? I just want you to get it, really. You young people, don't be duped. Just don't. These parties, I mean, I've been there. Trust me, I've been at parties. I've been high. I've been there. Y'all know y'all don't think we have. I understand all that. You've got to be more discerning if you're going to be at a gathering. You've got to be discerning about what you're eating and drinking. People do not care about putting stuff in your food or in your drink anymore, as long as they can get what they want. You understand? And so I'm saying to you, don't set yourself up to where you're out of your mind. Amen. And don't start convincing yourself because you're a Christian, I can handle this. You're setting yourself up for failure. God wants you to be wise, right? Wise as serpents, what? Harmless as doves. All right, I don't mean to belabor that. Hopefully nobody feels I'm not fussing at anybody. I just want to make sure that none of us get caught in these traps. Okay? Everybody good? All right. So that was the first issue, is they tolerated Jezebel's false teaching. Then he talks about the consequences of Jezebel's false teaching in 21, 22, and 23. The first thing that we find here is that Jezebel was so arrogant that she refused to repent. You see verse 21? I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. God is good. God, think of that. God even gave Judas time to repent. He's so good. And people often take his goodness as weakness, as Peter says. Because he's slow to anger, people think that he's not going to do anything. But God said, I gave her time to repent. Listen to me, all of you, young and old. If God's given you time to repent, you better repent, because the time will come when you cannot. That's right. There's a point that you will not, and then it reaches a point where you cannot. That's serious. And the day you hear my voice, what? Don't start bristling up. I know you young people. I mean, I was the same way. My dad didn't know anything. He didn't understand young people. It's an amazing thing. Your parents and grandparents, they're so stupid right now. Until you get a little older and realize that they knew something about what they were talking about, okay? Now, see, there you can be young and foolish, or you can be old. And some people grow old, to be old fools. And I pray that that will be none of you. There's no reason for any young person to be an old fool. Yes? Amen. Just no need for it. No need for it. You got someone in your life that loves you, listen to them. They've already proven that they love you. And if they love you, they're worthy to be heard. Yes? So she refused to repent in verse 21. By the way, the teaching here is that she'd been warned, right? And she'd been given plenty of time. You see how the verse read? She'd been warned to repent, and God said, I've given her plenty of time to repent. But what? When somebody refuses, that means that they know that they're not going to do it. Yes? So that's the first issue. Now, this is where it gets really serious. And a lot of Christians don't like to talk about this, but we got to talk about this issue. When you resist God, and he then starts to judge you, that's serious. Now, I'm not talking about just discipline you as a Christian. When God judges you as an enemy, that's serious business, okay? So this is a false teacher, a wolf in sheep's clothing that has come into God's church. He's corrected her, warned her, and she refuses to change. God is about to kill her. Please don't play with God. God loves his church. And anybody that's causing serious harm to his church, God is going to deal with you. Even if the church doesn't, God will. Jesus says, I will build my church. And what? The gates of hell will not prevail. Now, so you ready? You got verse 22? She refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Verse 22. Behold, I will throw her onto a sick bed. Right? She was judged with a sickness from God that led to her death. Don't think that God is just a God who hands out goodies all the time. He's a judge. He's a righteous judge. All of your judgments are right and true. That's what David said. And if you're a Christian, you know when you've sinned, God would be just in dealing punishment with you. Right? Amen. David knew, I committed adultery. I've committed murder. And so God, whatever you do to me, your judgments are right and true. I just want you to create in me a clean heart. I want a clean heart. I'm guilty. I've got nothing to stand on. And whatever you do to me is justified. But you remember how you say, have mercy on me. Right? The Christian can call to God our Father for mercy, but don't play with him. Don't assume that it's just going to be all right. You can sin and it's just going to be all right. It's not going to be all right. And particularly, I hope you see that don't play with Satan. Don't play with these things. Don't play with him. I don't know what you're reading, and I'm not trying to make this a long sermon, but I am concerned. What if you find yourself thinking about these immoral things? Think about what you're reading. What are you looking at? What's putting that? Why is that in your mind? Now, I agree, all of us have things that come to our mind. But you don't have to let them what? Dwell. You don't have to let them take root up there. Right? We're all tempted. That's not the issue. But you don't have to let it take residence. That's my concern. Don't think that God's just going to have mercy on me. If you find yourself gravitating towards some of these sexual immorality, come on, everybody in this room knows when you're committing sex that's not pleasing to God, right? I don't have to sit up here and graphically portray that. You know the environment that God has said sex is good. Yes? Young, old, everybody knows that God has set aside marriage for sex to be pleasurable, for sex to be the place that children are propagated. And yes? I mean, that's nothing that I don't have to convince you of that. And so when you know that you're getting outside of that, don't play with God and just say, well, everybody's doing it. Do you really want what everybody's getting? Think of the sexually immoral people. Do you know what they are getting? When I was growing up, you see, they had penicillin. I'm just being straight, right? When I was growing up, there was penicillin, or whatever, you know, penicillin and shots you can take. Young people, those days are over. Sex is deadly nowadays. God is not playing. So it's best to take heed to him. Yeah, he can still be merciful to you if you contract a disease. God can still be merciful. Why do you want to test him like that, though? Why would you want to test God to see if I get by with it? Maybe I get by one time. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not saying I was any different than you, but I don't want you to make the same mistakes. Amen. Don't assume that it's going to turn out for you like it turned out for me. Yes? Amen. So I'm telling you, you've got people in your life that love you and are trying to keep you safe. Listen. This false teacher right here purposely was trying to destroy God's people, and God said, I'm going to kill her. Yeah. Is that serious? Yeah. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just shooting it straight, right? A sickness from God that was going to lead to her death. Now, those that followed her teaching, he warned them. Open your Bible again. You got verse 22? So we just saw, behold, I will throw her on a sickbed. Now look at the rest of the verse. And those who commit adultery with her, I will throw into great tribulation unless they repent of her works. And I will strike her children dead. And all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. Brother Willie, what are you saying? Her followers were warned, I'm going to bring trouble into your life, and that trouble will lead to your death if you don't repent. Now, many of you know, we often read 1 Corinthians 11, 29, and 30 when it comes to the Lord's table. The reason we do that is the Bible says that when you come to the Lord's table, you need to examine yourself. Yes? If you don't examine yourself, if you just play with God at the Lord's table, think you can commit sin and just live any kind of way and come to the Lord's table, God said that I've told you, examine yourself. If you don't examine yourself, I'll deal with you. Some of you will be weak. Some of you will be sick. And some of you will what? Die. This is not a game. God is determined to make his church holy. Yes? Amen. Without holiness, no one will see God. That's right. Jesus said, the Lord said, I am holy, therefore what? You be holy. Please, please, think about this. Unless they repent, he gave them time to repent. Now, what you remember what we saw last time? Last time, we saw that the labor of love and in ministry to people did not fade over time, right? I want you to take that same analogy here. Their toleration of Jezebel did not fade over time. It should have. You see the problem? They were letting, right along with their ministry that was going strong, they were letting this false teacher and all of her false teaching go right along with them. Not checking it, not anybody dealing with it. Just we're doing good. Our church is growing, we're moving great. And we just let this false teacher go right along with us and think we're going to be fine. Jesus says, no. Do you realize how many people are looking at that church and they think that that's the way the church ought to live? So, that's the commendation. I want to do the exhortation and we'll be done for the day. All right? So, the exhortation we find in 24 to the end of our text. The first thing he says to them is hold fast to the scriptures. You got verse 24? Before I read this, I want to say to you, beware when you got false teachers that want to take you into the deep things. That's people like to coin that. I want to show you something deep, really deep. You beware of that, folks. That they want to show you some deep mystery that nobody has ever seen before. Okay. Now, here's the thing that I want you to get hold of. You got verse 24? But to the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. So simply beware of the deep things of Satan disguised as the things of God. Well, what are you saying, Brother Willie? You need to test everybody's teaching. Test my teaching. Go listen to the audio again. Get your Bible with you. Test, see if what I said was true. And if not, don't disregard it. Yes? You need to test everybody's teaching. Because if it can't stand the scrutiny of the Word of God, then you don't need to be listening to it. Yes? First Thessalonians, can you turn there? First Thessalonians 5. Listen to First Thessalonians 5, verses 20 and 21. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Right? First John 4:1. Test every spirit. Test them all to see if it's of God. Test it. The last verse in Romans 14 says, whatever is not of faith is sin. Well, Brother Willie, that verse has helped me most of my Christian life. And you want to know, well, how does that help you? I view that verse, those of you who have been out late at night, you know that on most streets, at a certain time, the traffic lights turn to flashing yellow, right? And so I view Romans 14:23 like a flashing yellow light. If you got a flashing yellow light going on, just be cautious. You see, if it's not of faith, then it's sin. In other words, if I can't do this with a clear conscience that it's pleasing God, then don't do it. Wait until you have a clear, wait till you can do it of faith. Right? Because if God wants you to know that it's of Him, He knows how to remove a flashing yellow light. Yes? He knows how to show you that it's green, that it's time for you to go. So I'm saying to every one of us, hold fast to the scriptures. I appreciate you trusting me, but trust the scriptures most of all. Right? Love God with your mind. Love Him by loving His word. And then finally, he addresses this matter of overcomers. This is so wonderful. I want to confess that this is the first time I saw this verse in a little different light. And so what I want to share with you will be new to me too. The first part of this, I think, should be pretty straightforward. In these verses, what we see is a promise made to overcomers. You've got verse 26 and 27. The first promise is that we will have a position to rule with Christ while he conquers the nations. You got 26. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father. So, we will rule with Christ. And you do know that Christ is working out his dominion over the nations now. Ultimately, he'll come and all nations will be put down. This is the one, this next section, though, is the one that so many commentators disagree on. I'll tell you, this is where I've come down on this promise, though. This promise, I believe, says to us, our new bodies will be like Christ in eternity. Our new bodies will be like Christ in eternity. Well, where you get that, Brother Willie? You got verse 28? Look at it. I will give him the morning star. What do you think about that? God says to every overcomer, I will give you the morning star. Well, if you go to the end of the book of Revelation, you got that, see that verse 20, Revelation 22, 16? Go to the end of the book of Revelation, listen to it. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. Look at this. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. Who is the bright morning star? Jesus is. Now, if Jesus says, I'm going to give you the bright morning star, that means we're going to be like him. Yes? When is that going to happen? The Bible, 1 John 3, says that when we see him, we shall be what? Like him. When we see him, we shall be like him. And this is what I've been waiting to do. Y'all ready? You can smile. I know this is a hard sermon. You can smile. This is good news. Philippians 3:21. This is so wonderful. Philippians 3:21. If you've never seen this verse, write it down. Actually, I'm going to read 20 and 21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus. Now look at verse 21. Who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Did you hear that? He will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. We will be like him. Amen. That's the morning star. We're going to look like him, be clothed in the same righteousness that he's clothed in. And I tell you what, we were saved to be overcomers. Do you believe that? Amen. We were saved to be overcomers. As Paul say in Romans? We are more than conquerors, right? More than conquerors through him that loved us. My brother, my sister, that's why God saved us. He saved us to be conquerors, not to be defeated by Satan, not to let him come in and deceive us, to live life without any self-control, not to let drugs or sex or anything else take control of us. The Holy Spirit is to fill us with power, fill us with himself so that we won't hunger for these things. Yes. You're filled with the Spirit, you won't be hungry for the things of the world. Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord and what? He'll give you the desires of your heart. You get filled up with Jesus, you won't want these other things. The joy of the Lord strengthens. The joy. Oh, do you want him? Do you want him? Do you want him? Well, you've been very patient, and I thank you. The Christians at Thyatira and we today must continue in ministry and love and faith without giving up. It's a labor of love that endures all the temptation. It endures frustration, a labor of love that endures manipulation, opposition, and deception. We also must not tolerate false teachers. and false teaching in the church. This false teaching entices Christians to participate in ungodly worship practices. Literally, false teachers teach the church to sin. We must not tolerate it. This is not just the responsibility of church leaders, but we all must accept the responsibility not to compromise. Yes? No one in this church should tolerate false teaching or false teachers. If we have compromised, Jesus calls and pleads with us to repent, right? And turn to Him with all our heart. Turn to Him and love Him. Turn to Him and obey Him with a clean heart. The Holy Spirit Himself will give us discernment. Discernment, He'll give us wisdom. He'll give us clarity of thought. He'll give us courage. He'll give us power to resist and reject this false teaching. He'll do it for us. He'll do it for us. But this is the reason we need revival. And I hope you realize that when I say this, I'm talking about revival from God. No one can walk out of here and grit your teeth and say, I'm not going to yield to temptation. You can't do it that way. How many people have fallen thinking that you can do this on your own? This is impossible for you to do without the power of the Spirit. It's impossible to live the Christian life without the power of the Spirit. This is against your nature. It's against your nature to resist getting high. It's against your nature to resist someone's sexual advance, right? It's against your nature to resist someone tempting you with money or with some other... Just as Satan came to Jesus, he was offering him what? The things of the world. You cannot resist it on your own. We need the power of the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be filled with Jesus. We need to long Him, long for Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. We need to seek Him. Seek Him in the morning. Seek Him at noonday. Seek Him at night. Seek Him when you feel good. Seek Him when you don't feel good. Seek the Lord. The psalmist says, in the day you said, seek my face, the Lord my soul said, yes. Your face will I seek. I pray that that's your desire and that that's your response. And if you don't know Christ, this is the life. This is the life. You have not lived until you come to Christ. You have no true sense of what joy is until you come to Christ. You don't know what it means to live in light until you come to Christ. And so I plead with you today, come to Jesus. He will set you free. Lord, I want to thank you for these few minutes that we had together. And you know what you plan to do in our lives and in our heart. So I ask you, Lord, to make your will known.